B-Pod Studios.
Dub. Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want to say it's a work in progress because we're not here to you know, like, build up whatever, but it feels that, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if he's next out and, you know, he's right where we need him to be. I think stuff-wise, you compared it to the first three, the velocity was there, the slider was a lot better today. So I think he's very close to the real, I mean, quote-unquote, the real Chris Sale.
Alex told us that he thought your next start might look like the real Sale based on your stuff tonight. Do you share that confidence?
Well, you better hope so.
There you go. There's that, Maz.
Oh, God, I love it again. I mean, it's... So this is a thing, too, and this is just how my mind works. Last night, the velocity kicks out. Sandy Leon's back. They're in New York. They're 6-11. Do you think they wanted him throwing 97 last night? Because I don't.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
No, I don't. I don't think they did. I don't. All of a sudden, he goes from 92 to 97. I think he topped out at 98 last night.
You don't think they're getting a little hot under the collar down there?
No, I think they do, but deep down, this wasn't the plan for Chris Sale to be throwing 97.
Oh, no, it was. The plan has changed. There's 7.5 games out of first.
So this is my point. It's like it's April 15th. So on April 15th, they wanted him throwing 98. But on April 1st, they didn't?
No.
So 2 weeks have changed everything.
On April 16th, they woke up and said, we actually need you to start throwing.
Yes.
Because we're 7.5 games out of first. So they changed their plan.
But part of me thinks he said to them, screw your 92, 94 plan or 99, 91, 92. I'm throwing 97 tonight. You can kiss my ass.
What I like is Cora there saying, I don't want to say it's a work in progress because that's not what we're here to. They know. They know that they took too casual of an approach and too confident of approach coming out of camp. And they know they're getting criticized for it. So Chris Sale is absolutely 100% a work in progress. They absolutely set it up for him to have a soft opening and to work through his things in the regular season, not the Grapefruit League season. That's absolutely what they did. It's blown up in their face. And now the manager can't admit it because that would then be admitting to this approach that it was colossally wrong. So you're hearing them, you know, do the talk show in their heads. I don't want to say it's a work in progress because I know you're all hammering us for that, but that's exactly what it is.
Totally. And again, and I understand the impact of Sale. He's 0-4. They're 6-12. If he's 3-1, they're 9-9. Right? It's like it makes all the difference in the world.
Okay, so we are leading off Red Sox, mixing in Bruins and your thoughts tonight. We have some Patriots updates to give you. A follow-up thought on Demaryius Thomas. The schedule is allegedly out.
Basically, yeah, but okay. Not officially until 8.
Okay, unofficially, officially out. We'll hit on that. And there is a development in the Robert Kraft case. So we'll get to all those details, but your calls here as promised. Ross and Bill Ricca on the Sox. Hi, Ross.
No. Mike, didn't you know that every other team's stupid? The Mariners and the Rays, they're stupid. They're shooting all their bullets early in the season. They're so dumb. Us Red Sox, we're so smart. Everything's going according to plan. How stupid of an idea did Cora have? You don't go to your players before the year and say, you know, guys, take it easy. It'll be fine. We'll win our games. It'll be okay. And then now 3 weeks in, you go, okay, now we need you. And now everyone's scrambling. I blame the players a little bit, but it's mostly on Cora. You can't, I mean, this is more for the pitchers. Where are the position players? Can someone stand up? Everyone's getting days off. Can someone stand up and make a goddamn stand? It's so aggravating. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, Ross. They did set themselves up for this.
Absolutely they did. No two ways about it. They took a very cavalier approach to the whole thing, from roster building to preparation to all of it, which is on some level hilarious. Because, and I don't just mean from the obvious point of view that the games are real. I mean that the preparation ad nauseum with all the stupid data they have. Preparation, and they didn't prepare for the season. Like, that is a bit mind-numbing that they could take that approach, that they could push it that far.
Joe in Vermont, give me a Bruins thought.
Oh, yeah. In terms of the Red Sox, it's really simple. Cora didn't have his team ready to go for the season. So, I mean, it doesn't go beyond that. So I think he really needs to get a lot more blame than he's getting, because people are saying, oh, Sale's arms. Anyway. So I'm a new hockey fan, so don't, like, eat me. But I noticed Heinen was really good on that first line towards like maybe two-thirds of the way through the season. And everybody says, well, just throw anybody on that line. They'll be fine. But Heinen was great. So why not use Heinen on the first line, Pasta on the second, and Johansson on the third line? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, Joe, that's not a bad take at all. I thought Heinen did. At least...
That's where he stopped being quiet when he was on that first line.
Right, he was serviceable up there. So you're saying Heinen's a third-line player. He's been working well with Coyle. He should be there. I agree. Unless you want to move him to the Bergeron line, because I've seen a little something there.
Yeah, so again, I don't dismiss that one either. I'm just saying that the way Beers presented it was, oh, no, they'll put Heinen up on the second-line right wing and leave Pasternak on the first line. For what? Like, that one, that's the solution? Like, to me, that's not drastic enough. That's all. Heinen, absolutely, with the first group. Hell, you can put Murray out there with him if you want. Like, Murray will get a point a game with those guys. With all due respect, Murray. Yeah.
Tony in the car on the Red Sox. What do you got for us, Tone?
Hey, a couple things. Listen, doesn't it make great radio when the Red Sox suck? I love it. I love it when the Boston teams suck because it's awesome radio. But number two, does anybody remember Carmine? The computer that they used to use, the analytical computer back in 2004, 2007.
Of course, Tony. Yeah. Tony, we actually have Carmine. You want to hear? You want to hear Carmine? Carmine was behind Sandy Leone coming back up here. I think we have Carmine commenting on that, don't we, Jimmy?
I believe we do. It might take a little while to wake him up.
You got to boot it up.
He's a computer, right? You got to boot him. I mean, that's the deal. And you know how that goes. I mean, that process is a complete pain in the ass. But ultimately, once Carmine has appeared on the show this week, and I suspect he will appear today.
But Tony,
Sandy
don't you think
Leon is back, bitch.
See, there's Carmine, Tony. I don't tell me the analytics weren't part of how they started this thing. They vetted that thing. They've got a whole conference room full of freaking geeks up there. They've got to do something. Everything goes through them.
No, they have.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's Carmine going, bleh.
Yeah, his version of bleh is bleh.
Blah, blah, black.
Black. Black. That's a B-L-E-C-H, black. Jimmy, try B-L-E-H and see how that goes. Bleh. No, but it's true. The Red Sox took a good approach. They didn't get any new players. No new players during the offseason, but they loaded up on nerds. They did. They got a ton of nerds.
I'm telling you, they had to be. They're part of everything. And with everyone, it's not just you. They're taking over the freaking game. Chuck in Boston. Go ahead, Chuck, on the Bruins.
Bleb, bleb, bleb.
I think if the Bruins want to get back in the game, tonight in this series, Marchand's going to pop a few, get under their skin, start chirping. I mean, I think that's when he's best at his game. What do you guys think?
So that's an interesting thing. Marchand had to dial it back this year. He did dial it back. Still put up a career year, 100 points. As we said, proves that he doesn't need to be an a-hole to be a good offensive player. Doesn't need to have that part to his game. So that's for him as an individual. Now let me ask you as a team. Do the Bruins need Marchand to be a dick to be at their best?
I mean, I would say overall they need more edge.
Yeah, right now they do. They don't need him licking anybody, but they need him to be a pain in the ass.
I'll tell you, I'm in the minority here. I still think Bergeron's a bigger problem. Bergeron's been garbage.
He's getting outplayed.
I mean, that last game, he was garbage. Sorry, they've allowed 8 goals in the series, and Bergeron's been on the ice for 5 of them.
That's a staggering stat.
So you can dissect this all you want, and the reality is the goal that he scored in game 2, oh, please, the horse had left the barn. That was after that 5-minute major to Kadri. They got a power play, and he scored. Fine. Am I getting that right, or did he have one early?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Didn't Bergeron get the goal at the end of game 2?
The end of game, yes, it was a throwaway power play goal after the major. Yes, I'm sorry.
Totally, yes. Right? So, like, I look at that, I just think, and we all love the guy.
He has no 5-on-5 points. He's -3, 5-on-5. And if you add on the shorthanded stuff where they've sucked, he's been on the ice for the shorthanded goals, too.
So that's, right, so again. So
-5.
He's -3 in the series. He's been on the ice for 5 goals. 5 goals against. Like, where do you go with that? I mean, we all love the guy for good reason, but if he doesn't play well, they're porked.
Okay, we've started Red Sox and Bruins. We got some Patriots stuff coming up. Max in New Hampshire wants to weigh in on the Celts. I don't want him hanging there all day, Max. So go ahead with your Celtics thought. What is it?
Yeah, what percent would you give the Celtics a chance to win the title? And can you talk a little bit about Baines' impact on the game when he's in there? Thanks.
I'm sorry, whose impact?
Baines.
Baines. Baines. They're better defensively. period. And I think they're better when he's in there. I don't think he's like the key to the thing. I think he's probably overplayed, you know.
But in terms of their role players, I think he might be the most important.
I mean, he changes them defensively, I think. But in terms of their chances to win a championship, 5-10% to win a championship.
I was going
to
say about 10. Five, that was my number two.
5-10% to win a championship. To go to the finals, I'll put him at 45, 50.
I don't go that high. I got him at about 20, 25 to get there.
Yeah, I'm with Maz on that. And then, you have to wait until their playoffs start, too. So that's the thing.
What do you mean their playoffs start?
This is fake.
Game two is tonight, Murray, you know?
In theory.
You don't count this?
No, this series is so fake. They're not playing a real team. This Pacers team is such garbage.
I'm with Murray. Fake series.
Fake series. We've got... It's a nice little exhibition.
Just a tune-up.
Four or five game exhibition. It really is. As so many of these series are. The first round of the NBA playoffs can kiss my ass.
I mean, what was that? That team that used to travel and play like Standard Oil or something like that.
Yeah, Mobil Oil.
One of those. Yeah. That might as well be them. You're freaking a Mobil or Standard Oil or who the hell's coming through here. You know, the Washington Generals, the Celtics are playing in the first round.
Okay, meanwhile, schedule day.
Marathon Oil. That's what it was.
Marathon Oil. Exactly right. Sorry. Schedule day comes tonight. They officially announced it tonight, but it's been leaked all over the place. Beadle and Zoe had the full schedule earlier. We'll give it to you, according to Beadle and Zoe. We will also give you a follow-up thought on Demaryius Thomas and Kraft and the Patriot missile. We got an update on that, so stick around.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Peyton from the gun takes a high snap. Three-man rush. Throws down the middle. Open Thomas makes the grab. Tomahawk down by Malcolm Butler.
No
the reception.
Call.
Now the ball, did it come loose?
He did not.
Patriots say
the catch.
That it's incomplete. And a third official comes in and says, indeed,
boy,
incomplete
that's,
pass.
That's on
initially
Demaryius.
Ruled a catch by Demaryius Thomas.
That's on Demaryius Thomas then, because Manny put the ball in a spot where only he could get it.
So I asked Jimmy to try and find an old clip of Scott Zolak ripping Demaryius Thomas in a previous game. It's a lot of legwork going through all those games. It's about as good as we could come up with. But I know Zoe's not a fan. I heard Zoe earlier today as well get on Demaryius Thomas. So, you know, Zoe's going to keep it real, at least for the time being.
I have a second example if you'd like it.
Sure, let's hear it.
Third and seven from the 28. Shotgun snap to Simeon. Four-man rush. Throws a deep ball down the left side for Thomas. There's separation, and the ball's knocked incomplete. A good recovery by Eric Rowe.
Oh, he's so... I tell you what. Demaryius Thomas, for his size, if he would just go up and get the ball instead of letting it come into his chest, this ball's completed.
Okay. A little a minor thing. If we keep searching, we'll find Zoe really rip him for being the soft stiff that he is. Soft stiff. Not your kind of player. A player you routinely got into, out-toughed, out-competed, and he routinely shrank in those moments. Not just against you, but against anyone. You give him one good shot, he goes bye-bye. He's got the drops, doesn't go attack the ball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A player you've never liked, never wanted, but now... Here you go.
Yeah, look up the Cam Chancellor hit in that Super Bowl that the Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos.
It's a little crossing route.
Yeah, and he lit him up, and that changed the tone of the game. He was soft before that, and then he got extra Charmin soft after that. So you're 100% right, and I haven't liked him. But it's bottom of the barrel time. What else is out there? They got to add some depth.
So that's my only point. It's like, where do they have to turn at this stage? And honestly, the more I learn about this story, and it's an incentive-laden contract. I want to say it's $1.5 million guarantee. Is that right?
No, it's less. It's $150,000 guarantee. Go ahead. Just keep talking.
So maybe it was the base salary was $1.5 million or something, but whatever it is. The money's low, so that part doesn't bother me either. But I'll tell you what does bother me, that if he stays healthy, he'll make more than Julian Edelman. That bugs the crap out of me. And you know what? The more that this goes on, and the more I hear about what the Patriots have done at their wide receiving core, and the money they've offered to the kid with Tampa, Adam Humphries, or Cole Beasley, or whoever else they were willing to trade for, whether it was Sterling Shepard or Antonio Brown, I don't care. I mean, I want them to get good players. Regardless, can they give Edelman a little change? Can they do that? Like, this guy's going to make more money than Julian Edelman if he stays healthy? That's not right. I'm sorry. If I'm Edelman, I'd be pissed.
Okay, here's the money. The money's nothing. I mean, or the guarantees are nothing. Let me put it to you like that. The guarantees are nothing. This is from Bert Breer from Sports Illustrated. Signing bonus, $150,000. It's nothing. Reporting bonus, $150,000. Nothing. His base salary is 1.2. So that becomes guaranteed if he's on the week one roster, because he's a vested veteran, because he's been in the league 4 years. So that's his base is 1.2, but he's got to make the team. He has per-game roster bonuses that total $1.4 million. So if he plays all 16, you know, if he shows up, makes the team, and plays all 16, he is quote-unquote guaranteed about $3
million. 2.9.
Okay? Yeah. He's guaranteed just about $3 million if he shows up and plays every week. Then he's got another $750 for each of these next four. 60 catches, 800 yards, 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards. Okay? So he can get to whatever, close to six. It's not a bad deal. And I don't care. Of course it's not a bad deal. The Patriots are expert in having not bad deals and risk-free deals. Like, why is that even news anymore? Well, there's no risk. There's no guarantee. Well, no kidding. It's the Patriots. How long have we been at this? You still got to stroke yourself every time they sign a guy on the cheap? Like, duh, that means nothing to me. Yesterday when I heard, you know, up to $6 million, I spat out my organic water, but I knew in the back of my head none of that's guaranteed. Of course it's not. Oh, well, they signed a smart deal. Of course they signed a smart deal. If nothing else, they're going to sign a smart deal. Like, why are we even spending time on that? Of course, duh. Why do you think he's here? Because they bent him over when it comes to the money. Good God. That does nothing for me. I hate the player, so do you. And as a player, I don't know him as a human being. I'm talking about his style of play. I'm never into that kind of player, whether it's here or anyone else. You know, I'm consistent on this. And unlike you, I don't sit here bashing the guy, you know, when he's on another team. But then he comes here and it's like, oh, smart move by Bill. Did you know the contract has no risk? And all of a sudden, I whip it out because they signed a guy I hated for 10 years. I'm not you. Okay? I'm not you. But what occurs to me is that the whole approach by the Patriots, it's kind of like the Red Sox. The only difference is they can get away with it because everybody else is stupid.
One, because they have Bill.
And at the end of the day, they have Bill and they have Brady. And what I mean by it's like the Red Sox, I think they've been very cavalier about this whole offseason. I mean, floating on the raft the day that the tampering period starts, or the day before free agency, however that timed out, it was right there. And, you know, I know, you know, of course it's been reported by the cartel that Bill's on his phone. I didn't see his phone out on the raft. Can you bring the phone when you're floating out on the raft? Because I unless he's got one of those really fancy phones, the phone doesn't go out there.
Maz, is there a place he could have hid that
okay,
phone?
I would have said between his breasts.
So,
his,
you know,
cleavage.
He's and it's not like he's in Palm Beach on the grid. He's on a raft in the West Indies, and he does not have the phone on the raft. I'm sorry. So, I mean, like, he's on vacation as the thing is starting. Then you find out they're late on Humphries. They're late on Beasley. They're late on these players. The whole Gronkowski thing, I'm sorry. I hold the team partly responsible. Why did you give him the deadline 2 weeks into free agency? Why did you finally get mad at him? Because apparently this is what happened. That Bill, they tried to get, was it Cook? Jared Cook, the tight end?
Yeah, right.
They tried to get Jared Cook, and Cook's like, I'm not going to come there if Gronkowski's going to be there. And apparently Bill said, we got to know about Gronkowski because this is hurting us elsewhere. Like, dawn breaks over So they finally put Gronkowski's feet to the fire a week or two into free agency. That should have been a week or two before free agency.
Absolutely. Should have been a March 1st deadline for Gronkowski.
So, Gronk, you're in or you're out. And if you're out, then we have your money. We can spend it. We have your position, which we can now sell to prospective free agents like Jared. They were slow to the whole thing. And now they're just throwing crap against the wall. I'm sorry. Demaryius Thomas is crap against the wall. It's a player they've never even liked. No one's liked. And now he's here. So they're just slapping it out there like the Red Sox did because we'll figure it out. The only difference is they will. The only difference is they will. The only difference is it won't matter to them. And I fully acknowledge that. I'm not telling you 8-8's coming. I'm just telling you this is my read of it on April 17th. This is where we're at.
I mean, the crap against the wall thing to me happened right after the start of free agency. I'm sorry. I don't care, like, you know, whether it's a good dark horse candidate to emerge on the roster. Bruce Ellington and Marquise Harris, who had them targeted before this thing began?
I mean, even their staff, their coaching staff. Like, and I could give two poops about the defensive line coach or the secondary coach, but they don't have them. They don't have any of them. Are you not going to do it? Or are you really interested in the best prospects available, best coaching prospects available for your staff? How could you possibly? Because they're all gone. They've all signed somewhere else. They're all committed somewhere else. So what are you left with? Your kids and sycophants. Again, it ain't going to matter, but if that were the Red Sox, and it would matter, we'd be killing them for it.
Of course. Yep, absolutely right. Look, to me, the receiving corps thing is mind-numbing. I'm almost as fascinated by the process as they threw money at least one guy, and he said no. Like,
you mean,
I mean, because they were late.
Well, he had a handshake deal with the Titans. He didn't want to break it.
They were late.
a rare man of honor in the NFL.
I mean, really, they were late. They were late on Humphreys, and I don't know, maybe at that point it dawned on them that, we might not have anywhere else to turn if we don't get this guy, so we better offer him more. And by then, it was too late.
To me, that's my Patriots take today, that they've gone at it very cavalierly, very arrogantly. When I mean arrogant, I don't mean like they walk into a restaurant like they own the place. People confuse that. I don't mean like they're rude. I mean arrogant that we can do whatever we want and it's not going to matter. So that's how they've handled themselves. But I also think they're probably right. It doesn't matter what they do, and it's not going to matter at the end of the day, which makes it a little frustrating from a talk show standpoint, I got to be honest. But what can I tell you? That's how I feel on April 17th. Meanwhile, schedule's out, according to Beetle and Zoe. Oh, schedule day, oh, schedule day, where we predict wins and losses.
Yeah. Coming.
Home Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football. At Miami Week 2.
Loss.
Home Jets Week 3, 1 o'clock start.
Win.
At Buffalo Week 4.
Win.
At Washington Week 5.
Win.
Win.
Thursday Night Football, October 10th, New York Giants. I think that's at home.
Yeah, it's here, yeah.
That's a win.
Win.
Next week at the Jets, Monday Night Football.
Win. Oh, stop. The Jets aren't there yet, and I like the quarterback, too.
You know what? I'm going to go loss there.
Maz already has him. 5-2.
Oh God, the horror.
7-2. I'm sorry, 7-2. Anyway, so that for the, okay. So I mean, I'll just stop. He has him 5-2 at the 7-week mark. That is a crap sandwich to begin with.
Yeah, oh, it's brutal.
Lot of lambs.
Holy
beginning of that,
crap!
That
is there going to be one game worth watching or talking about?
Yeah, no. You think the Red Sox took a slow start into the season? Wait till the Patriots come.
They really can just slap. Forget any of these offseason camps. They don't need it.
Oh yeah, no. Isaiah Wynn's going to be playing slot receiver that week. A fat kid from Georgia.
Home Pittsburgh. When's the last time you were looking this up? When's the last time Pittsburgh has won here?
So
08 when Castle was here.
Yeah. So if you don't count that game, it was 1997.
When we all remember this. When Bledsoe threw this atrocious interception to a big fat defensive lineman on the Steelers.
Kevin Henry.
That's the last time the Steelers have won here if you take out the Castle year.
And I do because that's a fake year.
So the Steelers, and then it's Miami, the Jets, Buffalo, Washington. The Giants might be interesting. Let's see what they do. The Jets.
Ugh. This is where it gets good, though.
But then after that, it gets good. Cleveland at home at 425 on the 27th. At Baltimore Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to call that one a loss, too.
Yeah, okay? Me too.
Tough place to play, particularly national TV. It'll be a nasty game.
Quickly.
Okay, sorry.
Because we're doing the full schedule day workup coming up, so save it. Out of the bye at Philly.
That's loss. A win coming out of the bye.
Loss. Massagon with four losses to this point. Then they're home Dallas, 4:25 p.m. start at Gillette.
Win.
Okay. At Houston in week 13 on Sunday Night Football.
Win.
Say that's a loss.
Okay. Home Kansas City the next week, 4:25 start at Gillette.
Win.
Loss.
Okay. Murray, are we up to five losses with you?
Yeah.
At Cincy in week 15.
Win.
Win.
They could not show up and win that game.
And then you close the season, Buffalo, Miami.
Win.
Win. Win.
So 12-4, 11-5 is where we got.
Somewhere in there.
Huh. How about that? Ain't going to matter.
I mean, if you pushed me, I'd say 11-5.
Ain't going to matter. Okay, we got that, and we got Kraft.
So Patriot will go 14-2 and win another championship. Whatever they do, it's not going to matter yet.
Excellent. That's Carmine weighing in. Kraft, there's a development on the Kraft case. We'll give you that, and then I promise your calls are after Murray's updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, here's your Kraft update. Never a good sign, folks. Murray, what do I got in my hand?
Oh, boy. Felger's got a highlighter. And a lot of paperwork in his left hand.
I've got paperwork, I've got documents, I've got a highlighter.
That's the pain in the ass highlighter. I remember that.
Yeah. Never a good sign.
That's the what you would call it, report highlighter.
The Wells report.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, please. You don't want to see me get one of these in my hands. Florida prosecutors said Wednesday that they would release police surveillance video of Patriots owner Robert Kraft and 24 other men allegedly paying for sex. Through the cases of two women accused of owning and managing the alleged house of prostitution. This is separate from the Kraft case. Okay? They're going to do it through those cases, the separate indictments against the two women running those spas, or that spa. Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg's office said in court papers that it is obligated under Florida law to provide the video to the public and the media now. And that they cannot wait for a judge to decide whether it should be kept under seal while those individuals are prosecuted for allegedly running the Orchids of Asia day spa. Prosecutors, as, quote, the custodian of the records, cannot delay the release of records to allow a person to raise constitutional challenges to the release of the documents. Ehrenberg's office wrote on Wednesday, the Public Records Act does not allow a custodian to delay the production of records to allow the resolution of a constitutional challenge to the release. They are bound by law to release this.
Right.
Is their claim. And so again, Kraft in a separate case, in a separate motion, I should say, Kraft and 14 other men charged in the case have asked a judge to issue a protective order blocking the public release of the videos. It was a request opposed by the Globe and a coalition of other media outlets. That request is still pending before Judge Leonard Hasner. And prosecutors have not taken a stance in that case. Prosecutors haven't even weighed in on that case. That's a whole separate motion case. It's a whole different deal. The prosecutors are just prosecuting Kraft's, the Johns, and the spa owners.
Correct.
And now they're saying, however, the Globe says, prosecutors are now shifting the issue to the prosecution of the spa owners and managers who allegedly engaged in sexual acts with Kraft on January 2nd. Prosecutors, on January 20th. Prosecutors said they would move forward with releasing the pixelated videos unless told not to by a judge. So that means that Kraft has to go find a judge to order an injunction, is basically what it comes down to.
Correct.
He's got to go find a judge to specifically order those prosecutors not to release the video. Just your thoughts before I go forward.
So it feels to me like they're turning up the heat a little. Like, you know, and maybe a lot.
Okay, so here's my question. That's the crux of it. Is this hardball by the prosecutors down there? Is it tit for tat? All right, you're going to call us liars. You're going to say you did nothing illegal. You're going to keep fighting this to the end of the earth. Then we're going to release the video. Is it hardball? I wouldn't blame them if it was. They're human beings like the Krafts. Krafts want to win every battle. Maybe those prosecutors feel the same way. So if we're going to go to war, let's go to war. Let's see the video. I wouldn't blame them one bit.
I mean, to me, that's what it feels like. It feels like they're turning up the heat because the – well, go ahead.
Or is the case law so strong on releasing this stuff in Florida that they're compelled to? Is the law actually on the side of the prosecutors and they have to unless – or if they don't, they violated the law. And when you read up, and I did, I read something on Deadspin from yesterday about how clearly entrenched these public records laws are in Florida. you can sort of see where these prosecutors are coming from, that they're compelled to release this video.
So what, their hand is essentially forced by the letter of the law?
By the law.
Okay.
And so I'm just reading from Deadspin. This was yesterday. And the author writes, I forgot the author. I'm sorry, I didn't cut and paste it. But they write, can billions of dollars buy permission not to abide by a state constitution? Robert Kraft is betting yes. He hired some of the best known defense lawyers money could buy, and he has deployed them to Palm Beach County. In a motion last Friday, this was the court hearing to get the video suppressed against the media companies. Again, separate from the criminal proceedings against Kraft and everything else. In that hearing, those two lawyers barely quoted any statutes or precedents in court, but they did their best to imply that Florida's public records law violates the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So the Florida law on releasing these public records is so entrenched, they didn't even attack it. They said this violates the U.S. Constitution. The Florida Constitution violates the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which is like unlawful search and seizure and privacy rights and things like that.
I was reading the same thing on Deadspin yesterday. Go ahead.
They write in this is how desperate Kraft seems to be to prevent the public from seeing him receive a and they actually use the word. They write that, and he has an uphill battle. Florida's Constitution strongly endorses public records. Decades ago, Floridians embedded their right to public records directly into the founding document of the state. The rule is simple and expansive. If a government agency has a record, it must be made public unless the law expressly says otherwise. The Florida Constitution even goes so far as to say that the right to privacy shall not be construed to limit the public's right to access to public records, meaning even that Fourth Amendment thing they're trying to bring up, but even the privacy laws do not apply, do not supersede Florida. This is just a Florida thing. Not all states do this. But in Florida, shall not limit the public's right to access to these records. Deadspin writes that this goes for all records, from text messages to drafts of proposals to posts on a city's Facebook page. This also applies to evidence gathered by law enforcement. They write that none of this is a secret to Floridians, who've been known to take pride in just how many documents they can get from their government. To be a Floridian is to truly believe that every record in the hands of your government is a public record unless the legislator says otherwise. It is a very expressly written, well-known law, especially to journalists who are always going for public records and looking so journalists can get down there in Florida any police report, video surveillance. It's all, you know, text messages, as I just mentioned. Again, back on that Friday court hearing, during that court hearing, which lasted more than 3 hours, Deadspin writes that they did not hear Kraft's lawyers cite a single piece of Florida case law. Most of the time was occupied by one of Kraft's lawyers citing the Fourth Amendment again and how its right to avoid unreasonable search and seizure means this particular piece of police evidence is not a public record, Kraft's video. Three attorneys for various media companies responded to the Kraft's team by citing piles of case law and statutes in Florida, saying that by every established test in Florida, the video is a public record. It was hard not to notice the implied gender dynamics on display as well. Kraft's lawyers, all men, repeatedly citing the Fourth Amendment, while the mostly female lawyers representing the media responded with detailed citations and overviews of history of the public records law, even providing the judge with different legal tests established by the state Supreme Court for use in such situations. So this has been challenged over and over and over again. Right to privacy. You can't release it because of this. This should be kept under seal because of that. They've all gone to the Florida State Supreme Court and they've all lost. And this is why this law is so entrenched and so and it's so well known down in Florida. They also write, finally, Deadspin writes, this case is unlikely to be resolved anytime soon. Even when Judge Hassner rules, the decisions will likely be appealed. The arguments could go all the way to the Florida Supreme Court, meaning Kraft v. News Media may enter the pantheon of Florida public records cases cited over the years. Past rulings from whether the state's highest court include. So these are some of the examples of that have been challenging this public records law. Are you following this?
Yes.
Such challenges include whether the NCAA records turned over to Florida State are a public record. Yes, they were. Whether tape recordings become a public record when they are turned over to a criminal defendant. Yes, they do. And whether a list of Johns kept by a pimp who at the time was also a sheriff's deputy become public record? Answer, yes. So time and time again, people have challenged this public records law, and it's lost in the Florida Supreme Court. Deadspin concludes, this probably is not the legacy Kraft envisioned for himself when he visited Orchids of Asia the morning of the AFC Championship game just a few weeks before he hoisted another Super Bowl trophy. But it will be a uniquely Florida legacy. Perhaps the best revenge the Sunshine State could deliver upon another snowbird shocked to find that the laws of the state apply to him too. So that was just really interesting piece. And it's really separate from the criminal case of Kraft and the, you know, did they have a right to put the cameras in there? Doesn't matter, according to this public records law. It may get Kraft off of the charges. It may get the case dismissed. Possible. We don't know how that's going to play out. But in terms of the public records law, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so the owner and manager of the spa, and that's the women's last
whatever,
name.
Yes.
Okay, Zhang and Wang, I think, are the last two names of those women. When is that? Didn't I read that case, the hearing for that case is in May?
So the Zhang or Wang, one of them, have also requested the judge keep the video sealed. Okay, and a hearing on that is set for sometime in May. I don't know when the criminal case is.
Okay,
because these motions to suppress the video are separate than
the actual case.
The solicitation case and the House of Prostitution, they're kind of separate deals.
Okay, so I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'm wondering that if the Kraft video case, that aspect of it, could potentially go on for a long period of time, as you pointed out, with the process of appeal and everything else, well, then maybe this is their way to pressure them. Well, no, we're not going to get it out on your side because it's going to take forever, so we're going to leak it on somewhere else.
Yes.
I mean, to me, that's what this thing is about. It's about pressuring Kraft.
Okay. To me, the whole that T.J. Quinn report on ESPN, that if he had taken the plea deal, they would have sealed the evidence. I need to know if that's true or not.
Well, there's an update from T.J. Quinn from just 20 minutes ago. He tweets, this has been a bonkers day in the Robert Kraft case. After prosecutors said they intend to release video evidence ASAP, Kraft and a John Doe filed a motion to intervene and block it. A judge just ordered that the state may not release the evidence until there is a hearing.
There you go. So I told you. So for Kraft, the prosecutor said, unless we're told by a judge, we have to release this. Kraft found a judge, told him not to release it. So there we go. And it goes on. It goes on. I want to know that original T.J. Quinn report that they offered. And I don't know if they're legally even able to do it after reading all this public record stuff. Maybe they're not even able to do it. But the T.J. Quinn report that said the video is suppressed and sealed if Kraft accepts their plea deal. You know, there's two ways to go about this. Just say you would have lost in court and it all goes away. Or take the thing to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we all know which way the Krafts tend to go. And that's apparently where they're going. So there's your Kraft update. Your calls on everything. A long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Mann.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I saw too many games over the course of 7 years calling games where this guy and A.J. Green shut down when anybody gets their hands in their chest. Soft player. I like rolling with guys that are scrappy. Give me a guy that's got some guts. You can say what you want, rip for Chris Hogan for all you have to about not having breakaway speed or not able to separate. But the guy will get in your face. He'll get after you. He'll try and block your ass. Why? Because he's got balls. I'm just used to calling games and seeing this offense that's predicated on getting the ball in the hands of receivers or tight ends that have balls. And they're going to do something with the football or knock your head off if they're trying to block. Even Philip Dorsett busts his ass to try and block. And he's not a big guy. But it's a prerequisite here. We'll see. It's the way I am here. We'll see.
Zoe on Demaryius Thomas. So again, I wanted to give you some unfiltered Zoe on Thomas. He doesn't like the player. He doesn't mind the signing, you know. Zoe's a Patriot, so he's got to do what he's got to do. But he's never liked the player before, and he's not going to change his mind now until he sees it. So at least some honest commentary on Demaryius Thomas there.
So again, this is where they're at. Like, I'm not telling you I love the player either. But compared to who? Like, this is what I'm getting at. Like, what are their options at this stage?
So, I try and find the diamond in the rough, which they're so good at, versus going after a stiff like this. That's my approach. So, who's that diamond in the rough? I don't know. I don't know the guy's name. Joe Blow. Joe Blow, diamond in the rough. Go find him. You're pretty good at it. So, Patriots, Thomas, schedule, Kraft, Bruins, Red Sox, all of it. I promise your calls. I've left you hanging here for a while. Jimmy in New Hampshire on Kraft. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, of course the prosecutors are turning up the heat. And take the plea deal. Take the plea deal. This whole thing just goes away. Now his lawyers are saying...
You cut off there. His lawyers are going to make this a constitutional case, which is what this is. Because the laws on the books in Florida are pretty clear-cut. The case law is really clear-cut. That video should see the light of day. It's why the sheriff down there, and not even Kraft sheriff, again, the Bill Snyder guy, said several weeks ago that the video is going to probably come out because he's been through this a million times. Anything that we get as police officers is public.
Okay, so again, this goes back to that T.J. Quinn report then, because I feel like there's an inconsistency there on the part of the prosecutors in Florida. Like, on the one hand, it's, you know...
This is what I'm saying. I don't know if that Quinn report was accurate or not.
Oh, so that's what I want to find out.
Me too. I said that's the key to it.
Yeah,
the key to the whole thing, because if Quinn is right, and the prosecutors could actually suppress the evidence in the video and make it go away if Kraft accepted the plea deal, then I have no sympathy for Kraft whatsoever. And I am not on his side one bit. All he has to do is say he would have lost in court, and the thing does not see the light of day. But if that report's wrong, that's what I said earlier, you know, if that report's wrong and the video is going to come out anyway, I can see him want to, you know, keep the video out of there. Now, to make it a Supreme Court case, like, that feels a little much. They're going to pixelate the thing, for God's sakes.
But it does feel like, again, let's just say that the report is true and that was offered to Kraft.
Yes.
That's inconsistent. Right? It's inconsistent. On the one hand, they're arguing that it has to be a matter of public record, but they can cut a side deal and cover it up.
You're right.
So that's totally inconsistent.
Something doesn't square there.
Exactly. So again, now that's assuming that the Quinn report is right. It might be wrong. It might be wrong because it feels like if what Quinn is saying is true, then the prosecutors are violating the law. Right?
Like, exactly. Exactly. You know, that's exactly right, Mass.
So to me, it gets, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of that.
Okay. We got a quick update here with Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.